This is Pause Break, and I'm Kerry Brown. Hey, Eddie, you found any new tech deals this week?
A few, but most of all, I've just been freezing my buns off, man. It's cold in Hattiesburg, dude.
That is true. Very, very true.
Well, I guess it is December, so oh well.
But it usually doesn't get cold here until like January, though.
Yeah, man, we're living a dream down here in the South.
Somebody told me it actually snowed today. Mom called me and said it snowed in some places today.
Yeah, it did snow in North Mississippi today, so.
She said it was like snowing in Brookhaven.
Wow, that's just great. Wow.
Yeah, at any rate, welcome to Pause Break, boys and girls. We have a plethora of news and stuff to talk about. But first, Shigeru Miyamoto is retiring from his current position at Nintendo. Joystick reports that he says he's not going to retire from game development altogether, but he is retiring from his current position. He wants to focus more on making games. So, Clarence, what do you think about that?
Does that ever really work? I mean, when somebody who is of so high esteem actually tries to retire and doesn't really retire, you know what I mean? People have done it before, you know?
Yeah, but he's a suit, though. You know, he's been, I mean, I can kind of like, not really, because I've never been in a position, but I can kind of see where he's coming from, because, you know, when you're in the trenches, you know, that's all you have to think about is making your game. And when you get promoted, you have like all this other bureaucratic red tape stuff to worry about, and you know you don't really get to focus on your passion. And it seems to me like he's just wanting to focus back on the passion side of things, but I don't know, maybe he's just kind of like slowly drifting out so he can, you know, retire for real.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, how long has it been since he's really been in the trenches, though? It has been a while. And how much?
It has.
Yeah. And how involved has he been in any of the latest titles in the last 10 years? I mean, he may be going back to a very different environment.
True. Cause he's been executive for a while. Cause like, I think he helped with Ocarina of Time, but like, he started doing this kind of stuff around the time Majora's Mask came out on the N64. So, yeah, he's been out of the game for a while.
Well, I guess if you got it, you've got it. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
So the GPU in the next Xbox has been revealed. What's the story with this?
Okay, so this is an analyst company or tech, whatever. I don't know. But anyway, they have revealed that AMD has won the contract, I guess, if you want to call it that, for the GPU portion of the next Xbox. And this actually makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, you know, it's probably going to be backwards compatible. So the current chip is an AMD chip, or ATI, you know, AMD bought ATI. So if you're wondering why I'm like, why is he talking about GPUs and saying AMD? Yeah, ATI was bought by AMD, and this year, probably about midway this year, they rebranded all of the graphics cards AMD. But anyway, like I said, the last console was AMD powered, so this actually makes a lot of sense. It's going to make it a lot easier to emulate the games, or, you know, play the games. Who knows if they're going to actually emulate? They may just, you know, do a hardware based solution.
So, what about the original Xbox? Was it AMD also?
I'm not sure about the original Xbox. I don't think it was AMD, though. I think it had an NVIDIA chip in it because...
Okay.
It was running straight-up software emulation on the 360. It's running straight-up software emulation on the 360. So, I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I think it was an NVIDIA chip. Yeah. It was either NVIDIA or PowerVR. It might have been PowerVR. I'll check on that for sure.
Well, I kind of agree with you, though. I mean, hopefully we can get stronger backwards compatibility with this instead of the software crap that we got. So,
yeah, sounds good. Let's see. Oh, yeah. If you don't know, there was like this huge web conference in France, and it was ironically in... I'm kind of offended by his name. It was named Le Web. And Eric Schmidt, Google CEO, I guess he did like a little keynote or whatever. And he said that Google is buying one company a week. I'm afraid that's scary. Does that scare you? It scares me.
I mean, I've been hearing it time and time again, and it actually is true if you really think about it. Google is the new Microsoft. I mean, 10 years ago when Microsoft was in its heyday, lawsuit on every corner, all the money in the world, they're still rich now, but they're not the powerhouse that they used to be. And man, Google is just like hitting it on all cylinders. And dude, they're the new what's the Skynet? That's what the Google is. And, I mean, they're all powerful. I mean, a company a week is pretty crazy considering that they pay millions for these companies.
Yeah, according to stats, it looks like they've spent over the past year. They've spent $1.4 billion on 57 acquisitions. So it's actually been more than one company a week.
Wow.
That's scary. And there's this other thing I was going to talk about. This guy asked me, he's like, why don't you ever announce them? And he looked at it and he's like, we don't have to.
I mean, and most of the times these companies, they're just going to, fold into their existing technology. It's not going to be anything. It's going to be like a mainstay company that's going to be flagship or anything. 90% of the time, it's probably something that's going to get folded in for technology or patents, etc.
Yeah. I'm sure they do it a lot by companies just for the patents and then just kind of throw the company in the trash.
Yeah. Speaking of patents, Bridgestone air free tire concept. It seems like I've seen something similar to this before, but these are basically tires that don't puncture, or they're not supposed to be able to be punctured. What do you know about this story?
So yeah, this actually isn't a new thing, because Michelin, they've had this thing called the Twills, which has been out for a pretty long time. And it's sort of the same concept, but this is kind of a new take on it. But it's actually a tire that doesn't use air, so it can't, like, you can't have blowouts, I guess, or you don't have to worry about tire pressure or any of that stuff. And I know it's not really tech, but it's tech. I just thought it was really interesting because I've never ever even thought about this before, a tire with no air. Two of the bigger problems they're running into right now is weight distribution and the fact that because of these fins that the tire uses, or spokes, or whatever you want to call it, they're having problems with things being like getting stuck into the wheels, and it kind of throws the tire balance off. And the other problem they're having is, I think you can only go up to certain speed right now, but you would think that we would have tire, like, it's something. Something as primitive as tires, you think we would have a solution to the air thing by now?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the car. Car's been around for 100 years, but yet, we're still running on gasoline. Yeah. So it almost feels like one of those things where it's so much entrenched that they're not going to change it because it's such a big grossing industry that it's just too imprinted that they won't actually try to change it.
Yeah. And another depressing fact about the evolution or non-evolution of cars, the original Ford Model T, you know what the fuel economy was on it?
What's that?
20 miles a gallon.
Wow.
And it was made 100 years ago, over 100 years ago.
So you guys with those 5 miles per gallon Hummers, yeah, you should feel bad.
All right, moving on, OnLive is now on iOS and Android. I think this is pretty amazing. I've always been a OnLive detractor, but what do you think?
I'm going to go ahead and mark this as genius. this is finally the step that OnLive needs to actually reach the mass markets. They've been on PC for a while. They also have their own iPhone shaped like little console, little pocket device console, but they have not really been able to take market share or anything simply because of broadband connections. But the novelty of having this on an iPad or iPhone is really, really, really cool. From what I've read, they're going to have a custom controller for the iPad. or universe controller for the mobile devices, and they're actually tailoring some games that'll be able to run just through touch interface. So this is really a really cool take, which, I mean, if they pull this off, man, this is going to be the thing to set them off.
Yeah, I see this. I see, like, I would be interested in having OnLive on the iPad or something like that, because, I mean, the thing about, to me, about playing it on a PC or on a television is, you know, I have things that I can play on these that, you know, won't be laggy. But the thing about this is I can take this anywhere.
That's true. Like,
Crysis, anywhere. Battlefield 3, anywhere. In the airport, playing Battlefield 3 on Wi-Fi. Like, if they can get the lag issues down or whatever, I mean, that would be amazing, yeah. amazing.
Sweet. And actually, this releases what, tomorrow, and the controller is like a couple of, well, they have it to be announced, but it's a ways out, like, I think. But awesome. But yeah, there's been a huge fiasco going on with the carriers and this program that carriers are running to, well, what many people are saying, basically just spy on their users, but I'm sure they're using it for analytics. At least that's what they're saying. But this program called Carrier IQ, which is pretty much on every smartphone with the exception of the new iPhone 5, and I don't think it's on Windows Phone. So, I mean, this is huge, man. You got all kind of government implications, class action lawsuits. What do you think about this, Care?
Yeah. So basically, like, what Carrier IQ does is, I have an Android phone, so I downloaded this app to tell me if I had Carrier IQ, and it said I didn't, but I'm still not 100% certain. Kind of paranoid, because what this program does is it basically hides on your phone, and every keystroke you make, every text message you send, everything you do on your phone, I mean, this program has the capability to send it to your carrier. That's your bank, e-bank password, like whatever password. Like, if you log into a website on your phone, a secure website, it can log your passwords. It can basically, it's a spy bot on your phone. But I mean, the purpose of it is for diagnostics, or for, like my brother said earlier, analytics. But just the fact that it can be misused means it's probably being misused.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, to the point when they made it, they were like, well, let's just capture everything. You know, we're not going to use all that, but let's just capture it just in case we need it in the future, which is just dumb. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, and currently there are 141 million handsets, over 141 million handsets, that are running Carrier IQ. So that's just a little scary.
Wow. It's crazy.
Let's see. Next, speaking of Android, Ice Cream Sandwich is the new version of Android operating system, Android 4.0. Some crafty individual has ported it to the Kindle Fire, which it was only a matter of time, honestly. But what do you think about this, Clarence?
Yeah, I read this yesterday, and I think it's the same story. And actually, the guy who, well, the team who did it, I guess, they're able to, like, switch from to Ice Cream Sandwich, and you can actually go back to the Kindle Fire OS if you have to. But I think the only drawback to this port is that there's no sound.
Oh, man.
but still, I mean, to that point, they're saying everything else runs freaking awesomely. I mean, it says fast, snappy. The only drawback is right now is sound. So if they nail that down, I mean, man, I'm definitely getting the Fire.
Yeah. This, I mean, I already wanted one, but this just kind of makes me want one just a little bit more. But yeah, dude, this, I still want to get one. I didn't buy one at launch, but I still plan on picking one up. So
yeah,
this is very encouraging.
Yeah, a $200 tablet that you can throw a fresh new OS on. Hey, I'm in.
Oh yeah, definitely. Lots of stuff happening in the Android world. Go, both good and bad.
Oh yeah, man. Google.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks like we got a lot of tablet news going here.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and jump into the next story. Yeah. The touchpad, which, you know, HP's WebOS now, which was formerly PalmOS, tablet, which came out, what, a year ago or sometime last year, that went on fire sale because HP said they didn't want to do WebOS no more. It was $99 a couple of months back, but they are going to actually do a second round of the fire sale. The thing with these round of tablets now is that they're going to be refurbished rather than new tablets. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, refurbished products have to be certified as just being new. So, I mean, it's just as good, but still doesn't negate the fact that you're getting a tablet that's pretty much on its way out or already out. So what do you think about that?
I'm kind of surprised they held the price points, especially with the Kindle Fire, you know, coming out. But it's still a great deal. And, I mean, people shy away from refurbished stuff. But I don't, because, I mean, the thing about a refurbished tablet is that, you know, or refurbished anything is that, you know, human hands touched it. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Not necessarily a drawback, at least not in my mind anyway.
Yeah. What was the thing with the BlackBerry tablet? What was the name of it? The BlackBerry.
The Playbook?
Yeah, the Playbook. They also, like, dropped that to $199 just because, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, wow. It wasn't doing well already, but compounded by the fact that Kindle Fire came in at $199 was kicking her butt even more. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of deals going on.
The problem, though, that even with the touchpad and as well with the Playbook is that even though they're around the same price as the Fire, they just can't compete as far as the media, you know, the Amazon infrastructure. I mean, they just can't compete with that. There's just no way they can compete with that.
Yeah, and before we move on, just one more quick note. Like, somebody on Twitter, and I forget the guy's name, he said that Amazon has one thing over these other guys that they probably will never get. They have free advertising on the front page of the Amazon store.
Yeah. It's kind of like Steam and the Valve games that get released and they're put up there on the front page.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The benefits of owning your platform. Awesome. Let's see. All right. Well, I guess that's it for headlines. When we come back, we'll do a little report carding.
Down with Zelda from the very start. I got the heart, it's smart to play the part.
Down with Zelda.
Creeping through with an overhead view, cause a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. So I stay on track, collect the fact, never cut the slack, and I always watch my back for Jack.
Down with
Zelda. Yeah. Do not spend, I'm the man with the plan, cause the power's in my head and the power's in my hand.
Down
with Zelda.
Game Boy sold separately.
Well, all right, we're back, and we have a little report carding to do. If you don't know, the 2011 Xbox Fall Dashboard update came out recently, today.
Oh, yeah.
So, Clarence, what do you think?
Well, this whole thing started off with a lot of kerfuffle because I believe they're having problems early on because it actually came out like 8 o'clock that night, at least here in Central Time, but you know, I finally got it, and I have to say it looks beautiful. I love the look. The layout is a little bit cleaner. But, you know, I believe this update is just yearning for the next generation of the Xbox console because I just have a feeling once it gets on new hardware, it's going to stream so beautifully, and, you know, all haters will be loving it. But as of right now, on this 6-year-old hardware, it's just a little sluggish.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like, I didn't try to stream anything or play anything, like, as far as videos go. But as far as the actual dashboard, it runs way faster than the other one did.
Really?
It's way zippier. On my machine now, as far as, like, going through the menus.
Do you have an S?
No, I have a regular original Xbox.
See, that's
runs
weird.
It runs so much better than the other one did. Like, it's not laggy or anything. Like I said, the interface itself, I didn't play with the Netflix app. I didn't even play with the Zoom app. But as far as, like, the actual dashboard, flipping through all the menus and everything, it runs way better.
Well, the thing could – maybe my problem is not the interface itself or the UI. It could be more in the – pulling in of the content from other sources, it just seems slower. It seems a lot slower. And it could have been because their servers are getting hammered yesterday, but everything just seemed a little slower as far as when it pertained to like pulling in outside information. So that could have been a problem.
Now, I will say one thing that did get on my nerves is that like there's all these pretty icons for apps, but whenever I click one, it's like, let me go download it. It's just, it kind of tricks you. It makes you think you already have them and you don't.
Well, it's more of a storefront, just like iOS or anything, any of the mobile services.
Well, yeah.
They're building it more to be like a store. Because, I mean, I'm just waiting to see what they do with these apps and if they ever officially open it up to other, you know, other people to do their own apps. But I think it's a good start, though. I mean, like I said, I mean, the Xbox is going to be beautiful on the next generation of hardware. Yeah.
Did you, I mean, I know our time's up, but did you play with the Bing search any?
Well, I don't have Kinect, so I had to type it in, but it works. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, one thing I would have liked to have had, but that they didn't at lunch, was the YouTube app. That's a big one not to have.
So the YouTube app's not in there.
Yeah, they basically only have the apps that were already there with the inclusion of Epix HD, which is like a movie buying service.
Ah, okay.
And they're slated to release a bunch more, but, you know, kind of lackluster since they've been touting this to be the big TV revolution update, and we have the same stuff, you know, so.
Good deal.
So, man, one of the greatest RPGs, and in the minds of many people, Final Fantasy VII actually got a quote-unquote remake done by these college students. And we kind of looked at it before we got on the podcast. What do you think about this thing?
Well, I mean, anytime somebody brings up Final Fantasy and remake it, seven and remake in the same sentence, I get like all giddy, like a schoolgirl. So like I'm foaming at the mouth and I click this link and they start showing the intro and I'm like, yes, yes. And then the dude like actually starts playing and it was just,
oh no.
I mean, I admire their spirit, but I don't see why this is on like the front page of 1UP because it is very, very underwhelming. They're using the Unreal Engine 3, the UDK, which is available for free at UDK.com. Why am I plugging them? I don't know. But anyway, It's cool because they did a good job with some of the models. The Cloud model is very good, very well done. The Tifa model looks like they ripped the one out of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, man. It
doesn't look very good at all. I don't know if they did them from scratch or if they just ripped them from something else. But I admire their effort, but I was expecting much, much more than what I actually got. It's kind of like when me and Andy played this game called Guns the Duel.
They
have all this cool art on their front page, and then you actually play the game, and it's like, eh.
Yeah, that game sucked. Yeah, I'm going to have to get this one probably a D. Not an F because, you know, it's college students.
Yeah, I'll give them a D+ for effort, but yeah. And I didn't grade the dashboard, so I'll give that a B as well.
Yeah, I give it a B.
Yeah. All right. We're not grading as much this time, so you want to jump right into Oddsmakers?
Let's do it. You know, you put a nice little post on the site. Well, I wouldn't say little because it spanned about 7 pages. But it actually talked about your wish list for the upcoming console generation, or the term that's thrown around loosely, next generation console. Modular game consoles. You really kind of intrigued me with this. Swappable video cards and stuff like that. What is your plan and what do you think about this? And what are the odds that we actually will see something like this?
This is something that, I mean, like I said, some people may think about it and be like, Carrie, you're crazy, but, basically what I'm saying is, you know, you have a high data bandwidth port, possibly like Pipe or Thunderbolt, or maybe even USB 3.0, and basically what you do, because those two architectures are more than fast enough to handle graphics or even RAM, you know, bandwidth. Basically, let's say there's this data expansion port, and 4 years down the line after the next Xbox being released, they just release a graphics chip or a graphics module, if you will, that you plug into it, and bam, instant better graphics. What I mean, in this, I didn't really talk about this in the article, but in addition to like putting a new processor on there, what they could do is use something that uses the same architecture as the one already in there and do like sort of a Crossfire SLI type thing to enhance the graphics. And basically, you know, better bang for a cheaper buck. You know, the game companies would save money not having to R&D for a next generation console, because they wouldn't have to do it, because it'd be what? They wouldn't have to do it, but like every 10 years.
They're just building on top of what they already have.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, people may look at this and be like, there's no way. But like I said, Nintendo's done this twice. They did it once with the Super FX chip for the SNES. Star Fox, there was another game that I can't remember that used it. Stunt Racer FX. And then with the N64, they had the infamous RAM expansion pack, which Perfect Dark and quite a few other games used. So,
oh, yeah.
I would like for this to happen. I don't know, you know, how the other companies feel about this, but I think it's something that could happen, so I gave it 45%.
I'm going to say 25%. Just one real quick. We kind of see it now with hard drives, but that's pretty much the extent. Maybe memory cards and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe the next generation, but I don't think it's happening on the upcoming console.
Yeah. very, 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 very possible. I mean, very, very sound judgment, I should say. I guess I'm more wishfully thinking. But, okay, odds that the Windows 8 tablets will be successful?
Yeah, this is a biggie. I kind of see it along the lines of Windows Phone. You know, everybody says and believes in the platform, saying it's a good platform, but it's just so late. being late to the game really hurts, and if you're trying to take on something like iPad, it's just going to be an uphill battle that's going to be hard. And also the fact that these tablets are supposed to be your full slated desktop machines as well as tablets with this Metro interface, we don't know how that's going to go over. So the odds that the Windows 8 tablets will be successful, I'm going to say pretty much 75%, just because of market share alone of the operating system. But will it be better than the iPad? That's a whole different story.
Okay, I have an interesting take on this. I believe, scientifically speaking, that the odds that Windows 8 tablets will be successful is directly proportional to the odds that they will be cheap. Because, I mean, when I think multifunction device, do this, do that, you know, PC replacement, I think very expensive. And all people want to do on tablets is check their email and play Angry Birds. And I think if you're doing any more than that, because, I mean, essentially on iPad, I mean, there's more functionality, but at the core, it's for, you know, smart media apps and playing games. And I think if you're doing any more than that, you're kind of missing the boat, so to speak. But I don't know. We'll see. I played around with this Metro interface. I'm not entirely sold on it, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I'd say I give it about a 30% chance of success at this point. I mean, not only would they have to overcome those software barriers, but they're going to be entering the market late, and they'll also have to compete with the cheap Kindle Fire and the premium iPad.
Yeah, one more tidbit on that. People are saying there's rumors that the ARM version of the Windows 8 tablets will only be the Metro UI. It will not have any type of legacy desktop support. So that so that will be interesting, and it'll be a direct play on iPad, etc. So interesting. More rumors. Apple TV rumors are everywhere. What are the odds that we'll see an Apple-branded television? When I say television, I'm talking something 40 inches or more, because they already have pretty sizable displays. So what are the odds we'll see something like this?
The more I think about this, the more I like this idea, mainly because Apple makes some pretty, pretty, pretty displays. I don't know if you've ever seen a cinema display, or I'm sure you've seen a iMac screen. I mean, they make beautiful screens, which I know they don't make the actual panels, but they use all high quality components. But I mean, this again, I think it's proportional to how reasonable they can make it, because their 25 inch cinema displays were like $2,000.
Oh gosh,
I mean, they were they were, I don't even know if they still make them, but they were very, very expensive displays. So it's kind of one of those deals there. If they can make one and make it reasonable, but again, we know Apple doesn't really go in hand to hand with a reasonable. So I'm going to have to say, and I know I'm going midways with these a lot, but I'm going to have to say there's probably a 35% chance that this will actually happen, simply because, I mean, they're going to, if they make one of these, they're going to price themselves out of the television market.
Yeah, I think we may eventually see one, but it hinges on the fact that Apple can actually get the software right. And, you know, we have iOS, and iOS is good. But, I mean, people have been trying to do television longer than we've been trying to do mobile smartphones. I mean, yeah. We've been trying to do a great television interface for, like, the last – probably in the last 30 years or more. I mean, since you had, like, smart layers on top of just regular television. But – it's going to be hard. You know, Steve, in his book, they say he said that he quoted that we think we have the TV nailed. So if that's the case, I'm going to, you know, I believe Steve. I'm going to have to say 75% that this, we will see this.
Throwing it down.
I mean, if that quote was correct, I'm saying 75%. Come on, Steve.
Well, I mean, that. If there, I will say this, if there's somebody that could, you know, pull this off and like have an OS bundled with every television, you know, it's Apple. if anybody could do that, you know, they would be the ones to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only the apps, because the apps are, you know, we've seen apps on TVs for like the last 2 years, the smart apps, but they have to be able to nail the integration into stuff like DirecTV or just regular broadcast television and stuff like that to make it seamless and make it beautiful. So
yeah, exactly. All right. Now, this is a story that I'm very fond of. Odds that the next Xbox will be unveiled at CES 2012.
Oh, man. one could only hope. I'll just go ahead and say that Microsoft is going to have a lot on their plate at the upcoming CMS. The CES, excuse me. We're going to have Windows 8 stuff, a whole bunch of Windows 8 stuff. We're going to have Windows Phone Nokia stuff showing up there, and you're probably going to see some Windows 8 tablets also. So they have a lot on their plate. The fact that we may see a new Xbox there, I deem it highly, highly, highly unlikely. More so probably around the time of E3 in the summer, but I'm going to have to give this one like 25% at the most.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, even if they announce it, though, this is the way I'm looking at it. Even if they announce the Xbox, the next Xbox of 2012, it's probably not going to be out till fall 2013. I mean, I'm not expecting it. If they, like, in my thinking, I'm not expecting it to actually be out, you know, in next year. They could show some tech demos, show a mock-up of the console, and I think that's very, very possible for that to happen. I mean, it's about time for them to start creating the buzz. They don't want the Nintendo Wii to steal their thunder like it did last time. So, I'm going to go with 60%. I really think this is going to happen. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing with the console unveilings, most of them show hardware before they show anything else. And, I mean, I just don't think they're going to have any hardware available. I could be wrong on that. But go ahead.
I was just, like, they've probably already given reference picks to all of the AAA developers and stuff, so they can actually, you know, kind of get a feel for, you know, the graphical quality
that they're gonna
be reaching. So I mean, again, they don't, like, even let's say it comes out 2 years from now, they don't actually have to show anything like substantial. I mean, it's all subject to change. Think about when Nintendo when they originally unveiled the Wii, it was called the Revolution, and they did it in 2005. So I mean, they did it a while before the machine actually came out.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true.
But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. So the next story: what are the odds that the Kindle Fire will outsell the Apple iPad this holiday season?
Yeah, I really like this story because the Fire at this price point. I mean, it hit this price point, and like everybody's draw just dropped to the floor because they were like, "There's no way." And all the moms' faces lit up because they're like, "Christmas gift."
Oh yeah,
and,
oh yeah.
But I mean, it's a perfect price point. Like, this is what I've been yapping about since tablets came out: is give me a reasonable tablet. You know, I'm not paying $500 for a tablet. It's just not gonna happen. Oh, so no. I know I'm not the only person that thinks that way. And even though the iPad is a superior tablet, this is like less than half the price. So I think that it will sell like gangbusters, and I do think that it will sell more than the iPad. So I'm gonna say 95%.
Yeah, man, it's so funny. Is it good enough, and is it at the right price point? And I think they definitely hit both of those nails on the head. It's so funny. It's like Amazon and Apple both are like trying to save face on this by saying, "Oh, you know, we're a different type of company. We're not direct competition with the iPad. We're looking for the different type of market." And then you have Apple over here saying, "Well, I think it'll only bolster the tablet market by giving the introductory level tablet to other people, and they can eventually come to us for the good stuff." So I mean, they're both trying to save face, but ultimately, I think Amazon is you hit it on the head when you said moms. They're going to look at that price point and say, "Oh, this is selling like gangbusters. It's got to be okay, and the price is good. I'm going to get it." I'm going to say 100% chance that it will outsell the iPad this holiday season.
Wow, you heard it here first, folks. It's going down.
Oh, yeah.
Meet me at Best Buy. It's going down. All right. Odds that Android will be bigger than iOS. Just to give this a little frame of reference, Eric Schmidt at the Le Web conference in Paris, he said that 6 months from now, that people will be developing apps on Android first and then porting them to iOS. So that's the definition of bigger. That's a short time frame. So I really want to know what you have to say about this.
Oh man, Schmidt, my dad says. I stole it from Twit. But man,
that's awesome.
But dude, it's just like to me, Android is like the wild, wild west of development. It's gotten a lot better. I haven't actually developed for them, but I've seen the tools. I think the tools for iPad are pretty good. The tools for Windows Phone are way, way, way superior to both of them, actually. But at this point, I don't know. People are still going iPad first, and I just don't see that changing anytime soon. Unless it's kind of weird because the thing is, it's the perception thing that everybody have for the whole iOS ecosphere or whatever. And until that really changes, I don't know if it can actually, the developers are going to actually shift, but I think it will happen at some point. 6 months from now, I'm going to say that's probably a 25% chance, but in the next year, it's going to happen. It's a 100% chance it will happen in the next year, but but 6 months is a pretty quick turnaround to say we're going to be number one on the block, you know?
Now, yeah, if there are two ifs, if, you know, Apple just didn't let the iPhone go to like all the carriers under the sun, then I would be like, yeah, there's 100% chance this is going to happen 6 months. But just because, like, the iPhone is available everywhere, I mean, freaking Cellular South is selling the iPhone and the iPhone 4S. that is crazy. And people are jumping on these things. They're on them like a hobo on a ham sandwich.
Dude,
everybody is getting an iPhone now.
It's true, man.
And, like,
I mean to cut you off, but I like the week the iPhone came out for C Spire, formerly Cellular South. Dude, I'm like, I'm turning around. Like, nobody in work had an iPhone. Probably two people, you know, the people that don't actually own AT&T. But, you know, this being the South South region, everybody has South South. I swear, like, the week it came out, I saw at least 5 or 6 new iPhones in the office. I'm like, dude, this is just ridiculous.
This is what Apple had to do, because, I mean, like you said, the Android thing is it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen eventually. But this is what Apple had to do to stay in the game. They had to open up the to other carriers, and they did it. I mean, they actually, you know, they they were right on time with this. So
it's, definitely,
you know, not quite Mr. Schmidt. So I'm gonna agree with you, and I'm gonna say 10%. In 6 months, I'd say there's the 10% chance of that happening. I mean, simply because, you know, everybody at this point also is entrenched in their current IDE, and it's going to take a while for them to swap everything over, even though it is going to happen eventually.
Yeah, and I'll just add one thing. It seems like we said this probably, 4 years ago on the Original Opinion podcast. Apple has a knack for covering every price point. So this is what they do. We'll sell our two-year-old phone, the 3GS, for free, and we'll get the great iPhone 4, which still by many jerks, whatever, phone. It's still like the still almost the best phone out there. We'll sell that for $99. I mean, and they're just covering every price point, excuse me. And this is going to be hard for somebody to get on top of that, because when people find out they can get an iPhone for like half the price or free, guess what they're going to get? iPhone.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, see what we got next. Oh, I guess that's it. Icemakers is 100% over.
Oh, I like it.
All right. Now, I guess we'll do some product plugs. Guess I'll go first. This has nothing to do with technology, but I subscribe to Audio, which is like Spotify. The reason I don't subscribe to Spotify is because, like, some of my favorite musical albums and titles have just been disappearing from that lately. That's why I subscribe to Audio. But anyway, Robin Thicke, who I've been a fan of for probably about 8 years now, he released his new album Tuesday. It's called Love After War, and it's got a really old school Motown. In places, it's got like a Motown, Curtis Mayfield / Michael McDonald type feel to it. If that makes any sense.
I'm trying to meld that together.
especially like the first two tracks. I mean, it gets more contemporary, you know, as you go on into the album. But I love it. Love the whole thing. And I'm really, 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 really excited about this album. It's awesome. And it's like baby making music. use it wisely. But anyway, it's a great record. I mean, at least check it out. Audio, if you don't know about Audio, you get like, I think you get like a certain number of hours of music free. You know, Spotify is free, so check it out. You know, it won't cost you anything. Yeah, check it out.
All right, I guess it's my turn to talk about my cool thing / product plug. We talked about the Xbox dashboard update a minute ago. Also, alongside that, they released the Xbox Companion app for Windows phones. Now, this is not to be confused with the Xbox Live iOS app that they just released also, which gives all the iOS users the same functionality that was built in Windows Phone from the start. You know, able to text friends on Xbox Live, see who's online, look at your achievements. But this goes one better, and it adds in a lot of the stuff that they actually added in the dashboard. It actually, once you open the app on the same Wi-Fi network as your Xbox, a little thing pops up on your screen saying, oh, a companion app is connected, and you can actually control the Metro UI on the Xbox dashboard with this little remote looking panel that's actually on your phone. Added to that, you can actually search and launch games and apps directly from the phone. So it's pretty cool. I advise anyone who has a Windows phone and has an Xbox to check it out, because it's actually pretty nifty.
Awesome. 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 Good deal. So, is that everything? We don't have any fan mail this week, so send us some mail, guys. We would like to hear from you.
Yeah, whatever you want to know that you feel we can competently answer. Even if you don't think we can answer it, just send it anyway, because we'd like to get some participation going. We'll take, even if you can, like, send us an audio clip of your question, we'll play it on the show. So, just need some interaction going here, folks.
Yeah, even if you think we're idiots, we'd like to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. Nothing but fine. So, should we get some plugs in here right quick before we sign off?
Yeah, you got any plugs? Got any plugs?
Well, I just want to say visit the site, techpedition.com.
Yeah, that's right. We do have a website.
Also, make sure you listen to the TechPedition Prime podcast. Also, our sister podcast, or brother podcast, I would like to say. The Reality Breach podcast. Check them out. Check us out. Subscribe to our feed. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, also on the G+. And yeah, I think that's it.
Right on. Well, this has been Pause Break, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kerry Brown.
I'm Clarence Brown.